sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We reward meanness or wait till Friday?
Up to you.
I asked you guys.
Go ahead. Say it.
Reward it.
Yes.
Reward it.
Yes. Reward it.
This jerk said the only time Branham goes 6.5 is to the buffet line. I haven't been to a buffet in days.
Days? Oh. When did they bring them back
days,
officially?
Huh?
Buffets?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about since COVID?
Yes, it's COVID. A lot of them went out. The Sweet Tomato and all those. There were some good ones that just completely never came back. I know Golden Corral and what's the other one? CC's.
And oh, yeah, CC's Pizza.
CC's, yeah. Do they ever even close?
I don't know.
Man, I would be shocked if a place like Golden Corral never even closed.
I think they did the servings for you, though. You couldn't help yourself.
I have I've never been to a Sweet Tomatoes. I've been to what is it? Soup and Salad, Super Salad.
Super Salad, yeah, used
way
to be
back.
Good too. Yep.
Super
Salad.
I haven't
good.
Been to yep. Sweet Tomatoes either. I've been to Super Salad. I've been to Salada.
That's not a buffet.
That's not a, well. That's true. I guess it's not a buffet.
Salada is like overpriced salad though.
Yeah,
yeah,
I would agree with
it
that.
Is.
Which I mean, name a place you go get a salad that's not overpriced.
Super Salad.
I think. Well, I haven't been there. In
Jason's
ages.
Deli.
What's the, is it not overpriced?
Jason's Deli, you can get unlimited trips
oh, right.
to the salad bar at a really good price.
That's right.
Are people
what's your,
still going
what's
to Jason's
favorite,
Deli?
What's that?
Are people still going to Jason's Deli?
Oh, yeah. There's one in Sugar Land that gets frequented a ton.
Okay.
I stayed next to one the other day, but I haven't been to a Jason's Deli in months.
It just feels like something from the 90s, doesn't it?
When we worked in Greenway, Jason's Deli was a staple, worked in at least once or twice a week.
It seems like a good place to go if you're going there. I would agree with that. But if you're picking up, like, it kind of loses the luster, right?
Right, yeah.
Because you're losing the buffet. What's the best buffet you've ever been to?
Ooh, Vegas.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. The Vegas at the Rio, I think it was, is like really, really good.
There's
several.
Yes, very, very good. You are not going to be displeased when you leave that place.
I will say the one that's better than that, though, pick a Brazilian steakhouse. A Brazilian steakhouse, best
yeah.
buffet that exists.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Turn
yeah.
that card over to Green, bring me all the meats.
Well, the
bring
meats, though, aren't meats. Part of the, technically part of the buffet,
yeah,
though.
Maybe you're getting all you can eat.
Yeah,
part,
they also,
that's
I know,
buffet to me.
Technically, it's not the meat is not
but,
part of the buffet. It's the vegetables and all that, the, like the
yeah,
pasta
salad. Yeah, but I'm
salad.
Talking about
that's,
all you
that's
can
that's
eat.
That's the buffet.
I'm talking about all you can eat.
Okay.
But you also,
get,
I mean, from the level of, yeah, you're paying for it to be at a Brazilian steakhouse, but at the same time, because they want you to get full on other things than all yeah. the meat, their salad bar is really good,
you
too.
Probably do get me on a technicality there, Brian. You probably do. Mine's probably more all-you-can-eat than buffet.
I would say Joe, Sean, and I went to Le Bourge a few weeks ago.
Thanks for the invitation.
We were right by the buffet there, in the which was next to the their sports book, and that was pretty fantastic.
I like to do the snow crab buffets at some of those casinos, like the ones at night.
Mm.
Ooh, baby. You can get those in Vegas, too. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Someone said best buffet I've ever had is DeMasi's. I haven't done the DeMasi's yet.
Yeah, I've heard of DeMasi's over
it's
the years,
pretty good.
But I've never been there.
What's your favorite thing at DeMasi's, Brian?
I'm pretty basic in a lot of things, but I would say things to make a gyro and then hummus with pita bread.
Okay. Cause do they have good meats, good quality
yeah.
meats there?
Yeah. There's one in Humble right off the highway on 59. That's pretty good.
Okay. I'm going to have to try it out. Oso, breakfast buffets or dinner buffets, which is better?
Dinner buffet.
No doubt. I don't yeah. like eating that much at breakfast. I like a good brunch from time to time, but I don't like eating that much for breakfast.
Yeah, the other thing with breakfast is you only get so much, too, right? You can only get so much. It's either waffles or pancakes and some form of toast or French toast, and then
well,
you just got the eggs and bacon.
I know, some of these hotels
brunch,
you stay at when they have the free breakfast, and it's basically a buffet. Those are pretty good.
Yeah, but I'm saying, it's not like when you have the choice of shrimp and chicken and steak. And
well, if you go to a brunch, you get some cocktails.
Brunch is different because it's a combo. But if you're just going breakfast only.
True.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. Whereas the dinner one, you got a lot of options.
Now, you want to go old school, give me a little Ponchos. Ponchos elite.
I don't know that I've ever been to Ponchos.
You never raised the flag?
You got to get the, what were they called? The sopapillas?
Sopapillas. Those
you put
yeah,
the honey in the middle?
Were good. I'll give them that. I didn't like everything much of the rest of their menu.
I couldn't imagine at this stage in life eating Ponchos.
No.
It would take me a week to recover. At least a week
that
to
feels
recover.
Optimistic.
Yeah, you're right. It does. All right, D'Amico, we're talking buffets. D'Amico was talking a little clarity on positions that have questions. First one, offensive line. Here was D'Amico on getting a couple of pieces back, like Titus Howard, like Kenyon Green. Here's the Texans coach.
You have guys who've missed time. You talk about Titus, you talk about Kenyon. Those are two guys we feel really good about up front for us. You know, we talk about our line being a strong suit for our team, and getting those guys back healthy will only add to our group, only add to what we're able to do up front. So I'm excited to see Titus back healthy, excited to see Kenyon, right, competing healthy and to give himself the best shot to go out and show what he's capable of. So I don't think he's had that opportunity fully, so I'm excited to see Kenyon perform. He's been working out. He's been consistent every day. He's been putting the work in throughout the offseason, so excited for him.
All right. What we do here is, you know, coach speak, all that. Of course, he's going to say that. What is he really saying?
It's put up or shut up. It's now or never, so he damn well better be ready to play his best football and be ready to do this. I think, yeah, there's a lot of covering for the former first-round pick and giving him the one last shot. They damn well better have an insurance policy.
For Kenyon?
Yeah.
Do you think that they do currently?
No, they don't. I don't.
See, this is why I don't mind drafting a guard. Like, we've argued about this.
No, I'm considering it more because what I heard him say gives me no more confidence than how I've seen him play since he's been a Texan. And if he's trying to tell me he's never been healthy since he's been a Texan, I'm not buying that, what he's selling.
You think he's been healthy? Like, his rookie year, he had the banged-up shoulder.
But when he came into the league, I think he was healthy. And I think he was fully capable of playing in the NFL.
Whoa, wasn't there the knee, though? Wasn't he coming off knee surgery? I think so, because I think when we talked to him, he was talking about the knee.
But he was a full participant, if not right at the start of camp, right after that. And that's as healthy as you're going to be going into the NFL. And he's had opportunity since then. Then all of a sudden it was the multitude of injuries, yes. But I think that if you come out of college and you're a first-round pick, you should have the ability to hold your own in the league, even if you're a little dinged up. And I don't think he was a little dinged up by the time the season started, that this is put up or shut up time. And I hope to God, for the sake of the Texans and where they drafted him, that he ends up being at least serviceable.
Yeah. I trust Titus more than I trust Kenyon.
For sure.
I think injury-prone guys stay injury-prone. Like, unless it's a fluky injury, guys who usually are banged up are generally guys who are banged up for a majority of their career. Not to say it plagues them every single year. Maybe they have a year or two where they stay healthy. But usually guys who are injury-prone stay injury-prone. So Kenyon Green has had issues in his first 2 years with multitude of injuries. You could say the same a little bit with Titus Howard. I'm totally okay drafting a guard or even a center if you think that Juice Scruggs can handle left guard.
Well,
Juice Scruggs, in my mind, is a starter.
Yeah,
I think Juice Scruggs starts at either center or left guard. Probably center, I think, is better positioned center.
For sure. That's what I was going to say.
I'm not comfortable starting Jared Patterson this year, quite frankly. Like, I'm not there yet when it comes to Jared Patterson, so I'm willing to wait. Like, I want him to be a backup, not a starter. So now you're telling me that either Kenyon Green's going to start at left guard, Kendrick Green's in the mix, or somebody that you draft. I'm not opposed to drafting a guard and letting them compete at all.
Yeah, no, I don't need Juice Scruggs to put on his Twitter account that he is the center for the Houston Texans, but I'd rather have him at center than the way he played at guard. And I want Titus Howard at right tackle. I want him at his natural position that he's paid exorbitantly for, and I want him just leave him there. But, you know, the example you give on Patterson is exactly why I don't have a whole lot of faith in Kenyon Green. It's because you drafted Patterson a whole hell of a lot later, and once he got into camp and once he started playing, he proved he can play in this league. I don't know that because of his inability to pass block, I don't know that I believe that Kenyon Green could be a player in this league.
Yeah, I'm willing to draft this guy. I'm willing to draft one as soon as 23. Or not 23, 42. You traded down for 23.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody you love is there, like this, I do these mock drafts every day to troll the audience. People, I drafted Spencer Rattler today in the third round, and people were losing their minds. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. But that Jackson Powers Johnson guy from Oregon, who people love, they everybody views him as like a late first rounder, probably maybe squeaks into the early second. If he for some reason fell to 42, and you think that he's your Tyler Linderbaum, you're drafting him, and Juice Scruggs is your left guard, and you have a really good offensive line.
So, or like, you have a competition between Juice and Kenyon, and regardless of who ends up winning the job, that's a better situation.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I'm totally okay drafting as early as possible.
I'm okay
it at 42.
I was going to say, but regardless of which of the two first second-round picks you use, I'm okay with coming out of the second round with a corner and a guard if you feel like those are the two best players, because there definitely is a need for corner. And I think more than people want to admit, maybe even internally, there's a need for guard on this team.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a guard, a need for guard. And maybe Kenyon Green can step into that role. I'm not willing to act like it's a guarantee right now, and I want my offensive line to be as good as possible. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, draft me a left guard if you feel like that, or a center, and then move Juice to left guard, or like you said, have him compete. I'm cool with that too. The other position on the in the trenches is the defensive tackle spot, right? D'Amico Ryans asked what he wants from a defensive tackle.
With our defensive tackles position, what we're looking for, you know, we play an attack style front, and we want guys who can attack. We want guys, you can do that no matter the size, right? You talk about, is there a certain size you're looking for? I've seen guys do it at 280, 290, seen guys do it at 315. So there's a different range for different types of players. It's all about our guys just being explosive up front and being able to do what we're asking them to do.
All right, what's D'Amico really saying there?
Sweat's not out of the picture?
I heard the opposite, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, because he mentioned a specific range.
If he could be, if they're not worried about weight, which has been one of the issues with Sweat, and I know it's a one-tech thing too, but I believe that I actually almost think that he also thinks that he's already got the defensive tackles that he needs on the roster.
Yeah, see, I think he was saying that he doesn't need size.
Yeah,
yeah, because he mentioned a specific range, and that range, I think he said like 280 to 315. And what's the best case for what Sweat's?
365.
355, 360?
Yeah, 365.
And he also mentioned, he never mentioned like run stuffing or like clogging lanes. He talked about attacking and basically getting upfield. That to me,
I think Sweat can do pass rushing D-tackle. I'm enamored with him, the opportunity to get a guy like that on this team.
I am too, but taking from what he said, to me, yeah. Likes a more svelte defensive tackle who can get up the field than rather than clog.
I think it's more so when you.
But
hear...
also, real quick, like not only that, but remember the Will Anderson thing we just played.
I was just going
like,
to say,
you got to be able to like work hard and take coaching and be disciplined. Well, we know about Sweat's the exact opposite. I don't think he's a fit at all.
But you know what I was going to say about the comment, Jeremy, and it was one that I actually heard on the longer version of the Will Anderson interview when he talked about the room and he talked about the defensive line room right now. He called out the Big F and he called out Settle and he talked about the guys that were going to be the integral guys that he felt like were going to be a part of what they're doing on the defensive line. It kind of lends itself to me that they might already have every guy that they're going to use on the defensive line.
I wouldn't rule that out. I think that that is in play. I agree with you on that. Left guard or defensive tackle at 42?
Ooh, left guard.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I'm coming around. Because of the fact that I believe that, I really believe that the two guys that you brought in at D-tackle with NFL experience is what D'Amico really wants. He doesn't want to take a college kid and hope that he can groom him and mold him quickly. I think that he believes that because he's got the three pass rushers, he's got two NFL guys that... From what I've been told, and I've got people that are all over the Bills that tell me that Settle, especially stopping the run and doing things to like provide a push, he can do. I think that guard's a more important position. We know how important CJ is, but with all the weapons you got on offense, the last thing you need is to have a gaping hole on the left side of your line.
Yeah, I think that you have come around on that.
I have.
Maybe not full 180.
No,
but
I'm definitely in consideration. Yep.
150-ish.
Yep.
And they've also talked about how they want to get better at the run. Like, okay, you added your running back. How about upgrading the offensive line? Like, I think upgrading the offensive line is more impactful to upgrading the running attack than mixing over Devin Singletary.
And ironically, the guy that came into this league supposedly being an above-average run blocker is the guy that you can't pass block, so you can't put out there.
Yeah, and hopefully he evolves and he takes over that position and he's your starting left guard for the next 7 years.
It'd be great.
Like, that would be awesome. But let's be realistic when we have this conversation. But also the competition could lead him
sure.
to that. Oh, I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my roster spot. Let me push. If you need motivation like that, I question your professionalism.
I think
anyways,
he's already got it.
Yeah, he does have his why, there's no doubt. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I don't know about you, but I love that we can be casuals for this NFL draft. What about you, Hive? Are you happy that you can be a casual with this NFL draft? 713-780-ESPN, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you like that you can be a casual for the NFL draft this year. 713-780-ESPN. We are having a draft party, though, by the way. So it'll be too casual. Go to the draft party. Who's doing that show? It's Joe.
Joe, Brian, Paul, and Dell.
Oh, good. Yeah. You got four-headed months. A quartet. A quartet. You guys
I volunteered, but Joe, you know, normally just, you know, he normally throws me by the wayside, so.
I think Joe gave me an empty invitation. I think he gave me an empty invitation. Are y'all doing that? Are you doing that somewhere, Brian?
It's in studio, isn't it, Brian?
Well, there's been some talk of different places, but I don't know what's official, so I don't want to say the name yet.
Blanker's house is up for grabs. Y'all can do it
no,
there.
No, it's really not, Jeremy.
He'd be happy to host.
Can we do it in the Blanker's living room?
He'd be happy to host. He wouldn't mind
at
all.
That's not an option.
No. 4636.
And that's when the dogs could come in handy.
Well, when the Texans are on the clock, just signal the dogs to bark. 4636, didn't they trade their second-round pick for Diggs? No, they didn't. They traded the Minnesota 2025 second-round pick for Diggs. So the pick that they got to move down 19 spots, that which was next year's second for Minnesota, they used that pick to trade for Diggs. So they still have pick 42, the pick that they acquired to trade down. And then they also have their own second-round pick, which is number 59. So they actually have two second-round picks. They have 42 and they have 59. So the second day of the draft will be a lot of fun because the Texans have 2 seconds and they also have a third. So, and we know that Nick Caserio is a Will and Dylan son of a gun.
Yeah, so. it's definitely a lot more fun.
A little delayed, but it works.
I definitely think it's a lot more fun knowing that you're sitting here where anything that happens, unlike last year where you were shocked and then you were hopeful and then you were analyzing it. This year it seems like they've covered so many bases and gotten so many starters so far and upgraded the defense in so many position groups that we were worried about that, like, even if they trade into the first round, you're like, okay, that's cool. Let's see who they got. And if it's one of the positions we identify they should still be looking for, or a player that kind of fell down and slipped and you could get, great. But it's not like the urgency of us thinking about before the draft and before free agency going, man, think of all the starters. The draft, they're going to have to get, you know, this many starters. Now they don't have to be as concerned with that.
Yeah, so they still have their second round pick to the Texters question, which would make that second day fun. 6005, you guys are cool with the back of bed of the defense? I think he means back end of the defense. I'm still hoping for corner or safety.
Yeah, I didn't say for me personally, I didn't say we're cool. I would have already cut Jimmy Ward. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
But you got to have someone replace him, though, is the problem.
Right, but I'm still not opposed to, and I said just a segment or so ago, if you tell me in the second round that they get a corner and an offensive guard, I'd still be great with it. I'd be fine with it. I think that'd be perfect for this team. So I'd definitely start with corner, but I think they got to add a safety somehow, somewhere too.
Well, I'm BPA. Like, if the best guy on my board's a corner, draft a corner. If the best guy on my board's an interior offensive lineman, draft an interior offensive lineman. If the best guy on my board's an interior defensive lineman, draft an interior defensive lineman. And I think the Texans have positioned themselves to where they can be BPA. They can draft the best player available. So I really don't care. I want the Texans to draft the best player that they have on their board that's not a quarterback.
I also think that what you're looking at is the fact that there are still plenty of guys that are out there that aren't signed yet, that if you do get BPA and you pass on a certain position group or something, there's still some guys that you could probably bring in and look at how...
Especially at safety.
Yeah.
Especially at safety. Maybe not corner.
You know, there's a big name at safety that I'd love to have that's probably a pipe dream. But whether it's Simmons or it's others, there are safeties out there to where if you don't get one in the draft, they're still, and with as creative as they were with the Diggs deal, I think that there's a way that they manipulate their finances to get a safety off the street that's still out there if they have to.
1970 Branham, who is your Will Levis this year? He's asking because I hit on that. I was right about Will Levis when other people were wrong about
Will
Levis.
Didn't you say you were done in the quarterback evaluation thing?
I say a lot of things I don't remember. But I was right on Will Levis. I was wrong on C.J. Stroud. I thought Will Levis was way better than everybody else, and Will Levis was the second best rookie quarterback last year in the NFL. So chalk that up as a W for Branham. But that leads to this point. I haven't really looked at draft prospects a whole lot. Like, I'll read stuff on them. I'll look at some of the mocks for people that I respect. I like looking at the big boards more to kind of get an idea of, like, who best players available will be. But I've been far more casual, as you might expect, Texans not having a pick in the first round than last year when they had 2 and 12. And I got to admit, This is way better. It's way better to be a casual about the NFL draft than sweating who's going to be the second pick, the 12th pick, who's doing what, what's Casario going to do. And then the other byproduct of that is it means you're not a bad football team that's winning three or four games. You're a good football team that's winning 10 or more games, and you're in the playoffs.
Well, the other thing, too, is like you said, the main thing was when you were taking the quarterback, were you getting the right one? Was the guy going to be able to, you know, was he going to pan out? And there were so many question marks about even if you took – a position of need like quarterback, were they going to be the right quarterback? Now you're looking at best players available and guys that are sliding and the opportunity to move up if you see a player sliding that you want to go get, but there's a better chance and likelihood because of the position they play and because of how good your team is that you're going to get a good player that's going to be able to play for you at the position that you're getting him to draft, as opposed to, boy, I sure hope Will Anderson's a hell of a pass rusher, and I sure hope we got the right quarterback.
If I'm hearing you correctly, Joe, I think what you're saying is this allows us to actually enjoy the fun of the draft without the stakes being so high that we're living and dying with every move up the draft board.
Yeah.
The Texans obviously have needs. I mean, we mentioned them. Corner, safety, interior, offensive
line.
There's
more guarantees as long as you don't take a guard in the top 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't,
you can relax.
That if you take a guard, it's pretty safe to say they've done enough due diligence, and a guard's got a better chance to hit than. Especially if you take a guard in the
Unless
second or third round. Especially if you take him in the second
Stop.
Or third round.
A second
take
or
him in
third
the first...
round guard doesn't have a better chance to hit than a first round guard.
But Jeremy, my point is I've seen enough guys in this league where a lot of the offensive linemen that become starters and above average players are taken in the sixth and seventh rounds.
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
If you've done enough due diligence to say I'm going to take a guard in the second or third round, I would think that I'm feeling pretty good that there's a chance they're going to contribute and they're going to be all right, as opposed to...
I think you're reaching a little bit here. Like, you don't think they did due diligence on Kenyon Green and draft him in the first round? Like, you have to hit on your scout, and then you also have to be a little bit lucky. Like, it's not about due diligence. Like, they should all do due diligence.
But
like,
I'm,
that's
okay.
their job.
But what I'm saying
diligence.
Is, as opposed to the pressure and everything that comes with, and then going overzealous and taking a guard in the first round that's supposed to be a can't miss... But I think you can get a guard in the later rounds or the second or third round that could still end up being a guy that starts with you, whether right away or, you know, and could be there for years.
I 100% agree with that. You can find good players at most every position, not in the first round. But every position in the NFL, you're going to find more good players out of the first than the rest of the. I mean, it's just
the roundabout way I was getting to it, though, too, is saying it's not like when you're evaluating quarterback and it's such an important position that you got to hit. And what I was saying about you got to cross your fingers even after you draft him, going, did I get the right guy? Can he play? Is he one of the guys that are going to be good? I think with guard, there's a better chance to hit.
Yeah. Lower stakes, yeah. I can be casual about the draft, and I like it. Love it. I'm going to have to watch film, and hours of film.
They can miss, and we cannot freak out about it right now. I think that's the difference. Or is if they missed last year, especially trading up to then also have the third overall pick, we'd freak out if they miss. Now, if you miss on a second-round pick, it's not as big of a deal. It hurts, but...
Has Stevie Nelson signed yet?
I haven't seen that he has.
I don't think so either, to where even if you don't go corner, I mean, and if you're not totally sold on Henderson and Okuda, that you could still bring in a guy like that. That's my point, though, is there's free agents out there.
At what point are you not going to be satisfied with Okuda and Henderson that you're going back to Nelson, though?
No, but I'm saying that was just a name and example to say if there's safeties out there, just like the Stevie Nelsons at corners, if there's a position you don't take in the draft, there's still guys out there that can fill that role.
Yeah, Nelson might be, like, too close to home. Like, I think if you're drafting other corner or signing other corners before you even, like, entertain bringing him back, I think that ship is sailed. But somebody who's played somewhere else, I agree with. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Every now and then we'll do some will-a-bits. What is today's will-a-bit? You never know what you're going to get, but you always know it's going to be radio gold. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's play back of the baseball card.
Okay, he's blank, I'm Branham. I've never heard this one before. She said... Back of baseball
card? It's new.
Back of the baseball card. Yeah, playing off our friend Jeff Bagwell and all the Astros talking about the back of people's baseball cards, I thought I'd see if head-to-head, Joel and Jeremy, who could get closer to the actual number on someone's back of the baseball card.
What was Jeff Bagwell's wife's ex-husband? It was Dr. Brown?
Dr. Brown, the Brown hand sanitizer.
The commercial was
Daddy's Little Girl.
Daddy's Little Girl. So is our robot Daddy's Little Girl?
What's her name again?
Charlotte. I don't know if she's British. I don't think Daddy's Little Girl is British.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
All right. So what is this? What is this?
So I'm going to give you guys or ask you guys to get or see who gets closer. Like, let's give an example. This is not one of them, but let's just say Yordan Alvarez career home runs. What is his career home runs on the back of his baseball card?
Oh,
and
okay.
You're both going to give answers. Whoever's closer will get a point. We're going to do or best out of five, and then whoever gets the most out of the five, whoever's closer, will be the winner for that day.
All right, Blank, get off the Twitcher. Get off the text line, Blankers.
I'm trying to figure out how you
got to log out of baseball reference.
It'll help.
You know me, I'm always on baseball reference.
You're always on the Twitch? They can help you out.
You're the moderator. I just work here.
Truth always comes out.
Yeah, I don't know. Might be on to something. All right, you ready for number one?
Twitchers better be careful. I'll ban them.
Okay.
Who's going first?
Since we're not doing Prices Right rules, it doesn't really matter, but we'll go ahead and alternate. Joel will go first this time, and then we'll alternate with each one.
How many are we doing?
Five. So it's okay. Best of five. Whoever's closer gets the point, and we'll do best of five. First
I'm
one.
I'm terrible at this.
I'm not feeling too good either. Shocker.
This disappointing. Well, maybe the winner will be in me then. All right. First one, career home runs for Jeff Bagwell. What does the back of the baseball card say for career home runs for Jeff Bagwell?
I want to say he was close to 500. I will say...
Maybe a shot clock.
Oh, shut up. 475.
474. Jeremy is the winner.
I think it was 449?
449 on the dot. 449 on the dot.
Look at this game.
Wow. What a start. I'm done. I'm retiring from this game. I don't need to play this game anymore. This is as far as we need to go. I'm retiring.
All right. I thought that might be the easiest of the group. Especially being like right below a kind of a milestone number there of 450.
I knew he didn't get to the milestone of 500, right. But I didn't know how far. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you weren't very far off.
I can't believe I hit the number.
Yeah. Jeremy played.
I'm going to look at this guy.
He still kind of prices right you there, even though we're not using prices right rules.
Been his thing.
All right. So now Jeremy will go first on this one, so he can't do that each time. So next one up is Lance Berkman's. If you'll notice a theme here, these are all killer bees in the debut episode of back of the baseball card. Lance Berkman's career batting average.
I'm looking at Lance Berkman's butt right now. No joke. I'm being dead serious. I'm at the baseball park. Houston plays Houston Christian tonight. Houston Christian's head coach, Lance Berkman, he's currently sitting behind the cage watching batting practice, showing his rear to me, just in case you
Why
needed
are you
to
zoned
know that.
In on his rear?
I wasn't. I was seeing where he was so I could say what I'm looking at. It just happens
He's
to be his rear.
At the back of Lance Berkman's rear.
His career batting average.
Career batting
Lance
average.
Berkman's career batting average. He walked a lot. He slugged a little bit. It's in the threes, but how high into the threes? I will go 313.
Joel?
I'm going to go...
We need to need music for sure.
Yeah, we're going to have to put some music in here. Here, I'll get some music.
Yeah, let's get some thinking music.
Man,
that way we can think. There we go.
I'll say...
This probably isn't great.
307.
Oh, that's baseball.
307. Joel is the winner. The career batting average is 293 from Lance Berkman.
Oh.
Okay.
So you're both over, but... Joel was closer.
I wanted to say 303. I don't know why.
I just wanted to believe he was a career 300 hitter.
I thought
he was. I did too. I've actually been fooled by that multiple times on the Immaculate Grid.
He's still in excellent shape, though.
All right, you should know. You're staring at his butt.
Look at his butt.
All right. Number three, we've got three more to go. Craig Biggio, career hits. Joel, you're first on this one. What does the back of the base card say, or best back of the baseball card say for career hits for Craig Biggio?
I can bet that it's over 3,000, and I can bet it was a double where he was thrown out.
Not the question.
He's just showing off his knowledge.
Yeah, humble bragging.
3,000 and... I'm going to go 3,050.
You said 50?
Yeah.
Okay, 3,050. Damn. Jeremy, what is your answer?
He did that like in June, didn't he?
I'm pretty sure it was
in the summer. I want to say he finished up like at 3,080. So he said 3,050?
He said 3,050, yes.
I'll go 51.
Jeremy played the game
you
smartly.
Are such a, you know
the
what?
Answer.
You can do it too. We're taking turns.
The answer is 3,060. So Joel was very
60,
close,
wow.
But Jeremy played the game well.
That was a good number that you said, though. That was really close.
That's the way I was thinking about it. He did it, and it was his last year.
And it was the summer.
It was close to the end of the year. Yeah.
You should be really proud of that. Don't worry if you don't get any further.
Thanks.
All right, so Jeremy is up 2-1. Joel, you need this to stay alive. Next one on the Killer Bees for the back of the baseball card. Billy Wagner, career saves. Jeremy is first on this one. What is the career save number for Billy Wagner?
This one's hard. Career saves for Wagner. Let's see. Oh, he played in the bigs for like 18 years, probably hurt for 15 of them. He averaged. I'll say 415.
415. Joel, what is your answer, sir?
416.
Joel wins. It is 422.
I knew it was over 400 with the Hall of Fame discussion, so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm trying to get him back.
All right, really close.
We are tied 2-2 going into the final question on the debut episode of Back of the Baseball Card. Last one, question number 5. Alex Bregman, his best career season for home runs. What is his career high for home runs in the season? And Joel will be going first on this one.
Thirty-six.
Okay. It's over. He had two seasons, at least a season 40. I wanted to say like 41, 42, but it's over. He had one season in the 40s.
So what's your answer then?
What did Blanker say?
36.
37.
It is 41.
41.
So yeah, he did that Jeremy MVP, wins.
When he finished runner-up in MVP to Trout when he hit the 41.
Yeah, I knew it was his MVP running year.
It was 2019.
I wasn't sure he got to 40.
That was his only season
over 40.
Was
that the runner-up year?
I believe, he was runner-up that
19,
year.
19, right?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
41
we're gonna have home to, runs. I think we're going to have to blurt out the answer at the same time.
Yeah, I think so, too. As we got into this, I definitely noticed the flaw in the system that you could just, if
it's
you knew
basically
you were
an
close,
over under.
Yeah, you could just,
The Price is Right gave us too much of a strategy.
We'll have to over under. We'll have to blurt it out at the same time. Like, it's like the showcase. Like, even on the showcase, they have to, they have two different things. But we'll both lock in our answer.
That's what you have to do
first.
And
then he'll say
we'll
1, 2, 3, shoot.
Of an answer,
like Jeopardy, but we got to show them at the same time.
Yeah.
We reveal our cards at the same time. That's a fun game. I liked it. Especially since I won.
Well, congratulations.
All right, what are we voting for our car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Total Arlington said back in the baseball card is definitely going to win a Twitchy Award. We should have that each and every year. Instead of the ESPYs, we should have the Twitchies.
The Twitchies.
And have like the personality of the year, the Twitch of the year. We can do it with the textures too. Maybe we can combine the two. I like the idea of that. Good ideas are born in Arlington. Dallas, not so much. All right, Hunter Brown music, that's good. Maybe this will get him back on track. He didn't have his music whenever he got destroyed the other day because he pitched before we were on the air. If Hunter Brown pitches poorly today, I'd rather Spencer Arrighetti get to the next start.
And we're also I just told Brian, and we're changing the tune.
Yeah, we got to take away the music.
We might not have an opportunity.
Yeah,
that's true. That'd
be gone. What is the line from, let's do the over-under. You give us Hunter Brown's line, Blankers, and we'll over-under it.
Five innings. Three runs.
Sold. I'll take that right now. I don't have a great feeling about Hunter Brown against this lineup, but I would take that line. I'll take that line
right
now.
I would take the under on innings.
All right, really?
Yeah.
I would like to take the under on how many times he throws the slow curveball.
Yeah.
I'd like to have him put it in his back pocket for at least a start.
Yeah, he hung. I went back and watched that because I remember we were talking about it at East River 9, and I was wondering if he was tipping, and I went back and looked at every pitch he gave up a hit on.
Yep.
It was like hanging breaking ball, middle-middle, breaking ball, middle-middle, hanging breaking ball, middle-middle.
I told you that. Everything was belt-high screaming, just pound it.
Let's go a little fastball, man. You got your heat. Throw it up and in. Throw us a little fastballs. Get ahead of your fastballs and then throw breaking balls out of the zone. Like he's hanging curveballs in the middle of the zone. You can't do that. Can't do that in baseball. Can't do that in the Braves. All right, car wreck of the day. What are you nominating, Blinkers?
All right, easy one, Josh Hader, because once again, even though we believe he's going to figure it out.
Can we throw to the car wreck music? I feel like we got to throw to the music, okay. Right?
Let's
hit
our
car wreck of the day. Yeah, let's hit the car wreck of the day.
You alright?
My leg is broken. The ball's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! Bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right. Blanker's going to hit the car wreck, and then he's got to go pick up the girls. Blanker's, what is your car wreck of the day?
Josh Hader for the ninth inning. Again, a less than stellar performance. And you guys yesterday, because Jeremy said he had another one geared up for me already, but you guys both didn't know that Deion Sanders played for Washington.
Yeah, I don't know about old football players.
Got to go by.
Makes sense that you would know about old football players, though.
It's probably best that he took off his headset for that one. I don't think he would have liked that.
Yeah,
I'm fine with us not knowing he played for Washington. Like, how memorable could that have been?
I don't remember. I don't really remember that.
Like, I remembered him playing for four of the six teams that are on the list. Obviously, the Falcons, Niners, Cowboys. And oddly enough, I remembered him playing on the Ravens, but I did not remember him playing for Washington.
How many career games did he? Because the text line lit us up too, and then Blankers texted us.
Did they really?
I mean, well, yeah, they couple
of Washington
played for Washington.
Fans are there?
Our listeners know ball. Our listeners are smart. He was only there for 1 year, though. And you know what? It was actually his final year before retirement, and then he retired for 3 years and then came back and played final two at Baltimore. I didn't realize he retired after he was 33. So he was retired 34, 35, 36, came back and played 2 years in Baltimore. Wow. Yeah, he played 1 year at Washington. Yeah, but when Blankers texts that Deion played at Washington, he misspelled Deion. So there is that.
I don't blame us for missing that one.
What are you nominating for car wreck of the day?
I mentioned it, I think, in passing earlier in the show, but I'm going to nominate King Charles, the show on CNN with Charles Barkley and Gail King getting canceled after, 2 months?
I had never heard of this.
Wait, never heard of the show?
No.
And I think that's, obviously that's part of the problem. No one was watching. The article I read about it, the ratings were terrible. But I think the biggest problem is they gave it no chance, and the article points it out. Like, they launched this show in the middle of the basketball season when how much effort can Charles put into a CNN show during basketball season, especially when he's got March Madness to worry about? They should have kicked this off in, mid-June or late June after the NBA season's over.
So what was this? It was just a 30-minute show with...
I don't remember if it was 30 minutes or an hour. I never watched it. I just remember seeing the commercials for it.
And they would just opine about, news stuff?
News and politics, yeah.
Maybe he was too right-wing for CNN.
I couldn't tell you what his opinions were. I didn't watch it. Maybe I'm part of the problem. But, you would think a show with the personality of Charles Barkley would be bulletproof to not being canceled after 2 months, but apparently
I don't know. All right, I'm going to nominate Josh Hader. Like all of our texters are nominating Josh Hader. Are there even any real nominations for car wreck of the day than Josh Hader? He was like a car wreck rolled into a dumpster fire last night. What is this? What is the new little walk-up thing he's got going on, too? What is his nickname? They're called Hader Time. Haterade time.
Haterade time
getting shelled for four runs. Haterade time. Kidding me?
Who gave him that nickname?
I think he gave it to himself. Haterade.
I don't like that.
I have no idea. Somebody else could have given it to him. I don't know. Josh Hader's the car wreck of the day. No surprise it took him into 2024 to make the big club. Sarcasm on the second part. Grade the joke.
Three.
Give it a 2.2.
I don't think we're that far off.
8807, why has Josh Hader pitched in 50% of our games? He should. He's $19 million. He should be pitching in half of
your
games.
He's the most expensive reliever you have. You don't want to use him?
Yeah. It's like fine china. Like you only bring it out for the most important situations. What do you mean, why is he pitching 50% of the games? Because he's your highest paid reliever. He's supposed to be your best reliever. 3209 says Miller and Clark, fire them, such a car wreck. Is he talking about Dave Clark, the first base coach?
No, he's talking about the pitching coaches,
well,
right?
That would be Murphy and Miller.
Yeah, I think they just mixed up the names. I assume he's talking about the pitching coaches.
Murphy and Miller have been getting a lot of heat.
They've been getting heat for a couple of years too. So I would figure, especially if Josh Hader, your $19 million fine China continues to mess up, then that's certainly going to expedite their ouncher.
Yeah. 0315, Giannis being sidelined for the beginning of the playoffs. Is he going to miss the whole series?
I haven't heard that, but I mean, obviously you're coming off the heels of him missing, what, one or two playoff games last year, which was obviously a big part of the reason why the Heat got past them in the 8-1 upset. So, yeah, that would be pretty bad for Milwaukee.
There's almost playoff basketball today.
Yeah, there's playing. So playing game to you isn't playing playoff basketball then?
No, it doesn't count as a playoff game.
I agree with you. I'm just clarifying that you're saying it's not part of the playoffs because
I'm talking about technicality. It's not like the NBA doesn't recognize it as a playoff game.
Oh, that's
like,
that's
it
fair.
Pretty much is because your season's on the line. Like that's playoff ish, but the NBA doesn't recognize it as a playoff game.
You see, I feel the same way about the wild card game in baseball, but I wasn't sure where you fell on those.
So the wild card game counts as the regular season, doesn't it?
I think it did. I don't think it does anymore.
Like, the stats you put up in the wild card game, doesn't it count as the regular season stats?
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about. There was a point of time, didn't they, for a little while, play like a game 163, essentially, as a wild card one-game playoff? But now they made the wild card round three games. So, I mean, it's structured like a playoff, but to me, I don't really consider it a playoff.
Yeah, 163, they counted to real stats. But they got rid of 163 with the new playoff expansion.
Right.
Now they just have the tiebreakers that determine all that. They got rid of game 163. Yeah, Lakers-Pelicans tonight and Warriors-Kings tonight. If the winner of the Lakers-Pelicans is in the playoffs, the loser of Lakers-Pelicans plays the winner of Warriors-Kings. Would you going to be watching this?
Yeah, I might catch some of it. What'd you think of, I can't remember who gave it out, but there was a take going around the internet today that people were trying to say the Lakers should lose on purpose so they avoid the Nuggets in the first round.
Oh, yeah, because they would get a... No, I think that you have to punch your ticket whenever you have the opportunity to punch your ticket. To me, you can't lose a game on purpose to now where you're one game within your season ending.
Especially when you got guys like Anthony Davis and LeBron who could get hurt even while you're trying to gag the game.
No, I think that's the worst idea I've ever heard. Like,
it's pretty bad.
That game during the play-in to face an elimination game tomorrow?
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty bad.
I don't love that. Now, the Lakers are dogs in that game.
Are they? What's the line?
Pelicans 1.5-point favorites.
How
Warriors
much,
are 2.5-point favorites on the Kings on the road.
How much would that change the narrative for Zion if they finally get into the playoffs with him?
I think it would change a little bit. I think he's kind of gradually changed the narrative this year. He's been a little healthier this year. I hope the Warriors beat the Kings though, because I want to see the Warriors. I'd like to see Warriors Lakers tomorrow with both of their seasons on the line.
That
I guess it would be tomorrow. It'd be Thursday.
Yeah, and
right?
and a winner take all scenario. That would be
a
great.
A lot of fun. Do you have any other car wrecks?
Yeah, a couple quickly. I don't know if you saw this. The Giants initially called out Taylor Rogers last night to come in for relief, but the manager apparently, I guess, sent the wrong signal. So Taylor Rogers had to do the walk of shame back
Whoa.
To the bullpen to have Camilo Duvall come back out.
I did not catch that.
Yeah, I put the link in our Google Doc at the bottom if you want to watch. It's pretty funny.
I mean, that's Bob Melvin. How's Bob Melvin screwing
up?
I don't know. They brought back the pitcher that was already in the game. They didn't have to bring in another reliever?
No, so he brings he goes out to the mound. Taylor Rogers comes out from the bullpen. He had been warming up. And they send Rogers back to the bullpen to then bring out Camilo Duvall.
Yeah, he had to bring out somebody else.
Yeah.
Wow, that's rough. All right, what's winning?
I mean, it's got to be Josh Hader, right?
Yeah, I think Josh Hader takes this, unfortunately. Haterade time. Taterade time for our car wreck of the day. Congratulations, Haterade. You're our car wreck of the day. All right, Space Cowboys, you can find them at 635 on ESPN 92.5. If you're looking for some Space Cowboy baseball, 92.5, 635. Coming up at 7 o'clock in an hour, it's Hall of Fame with Booker T, the Killer Bee tournament champion, and Brad Gilmore alongside him. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He was Blankers. I am Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston, from Highway Cantina. So long.